This is our discussion time. We just listened to Eric Luthe's most recent message presented at Ellerslie, the message titled The Impossible. It was the opening message to the new group of students that came there this last week. For Rory and I, this is our second time of viewing this message, hearing this message. How many of you here, was this the first time for you? First time. Okay. Well, good. All right, so the second time is even better for us. When it comes to God-sized faith, I'm asking the Lord for an opportunity for everyone who is SRADID, who really wants out, to have an opportunity to meet in a particular venue collectively so that in one event they can come out of the association into wholeness. One event. In whatever places on planet Earth to do that. So that before the rapture, that everyone who is dissociated will be fully integrated. So if that's in the context of a day of visitation, then the much fruit that would come forth would be like what you saw yesterday with working with this person we were working with. Have a whole soccer stadium with those people there like that, and engaging corporately and invoking the name of the Lord and standing into that position on a level where there could be 10, 20,000 SRA people gathering. Because we have seen nothing. This is pathetic up to this point. It is truly pathetic. It's like there's an ocean, we're splashing ankle deep at the edge of the ocean. Doesn't that make you sick?
Yeah.
Don't you want to say, enough is enough? If I'm living in the flesh most of the time, it's over with today by the grace of God. That's not the way it's going to be. I will not tolerate this. Why? Because I choose to be righteous in your righteousness. I don't have that righteousness, but that's not right. And so now I choose the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who doesn't tolerate living in the flesh. There's zero toleration in the Godhead for any of us living in the flesh. None. And what we do, first thing we do, we confess and repent. We call upon the name of the Lord, and we've affected others. We take accountability, and we confess to them. And then we renew our statement of faith. Jesus, I agree with you. Apart from you, Lord Jesus, I can do nothing. And I don't want to do anything apart from you. In fact, Lord Jesus, right now, 2 Corinthians 13:4, it says you were crucified out from the source of weakness. But right now, Lord Jesus, glorified Son of Man, the second man, you live by the power of God. So you, glorified in heaven, if you live by the power of God, what kind of stupidity and arrogance and ignorance would be in me to think that I would live apart from the power of God? If the perfect Son of Man glorified only 100% lives by the power of God, then where does that leave me? What are my options? Abide in the one who lives by the power of God. He lives out from the source of the dunamis of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Can you remember that? Jesus Christ lives by the power of God. In Romans chapter 6, verse 10, we can read these verses and we could walk away and be no change. None. We can hear this, agree with it, and say, I know this is the truth, and no change. You know why there's no change? Because there's no biblical faith. If you believe it and there's no change, it's not faith. Romans 6, 8, now he who has died is freed from sin. In Christ we died, so we're freed from sin. We're freed from the flesh. Not we will be free. We are free. We're acquitted. It's a done deal. Tetelestai, in him it's finished. What's finished? Sin is finished. What about who we are in Adam? What about who you are in the flesh? In Christ, finished. Finished. Crucified. Put to death. Buried. Gone. That's what the Word of God says. What about in our lives? Is that true? Well, unbelief! None of us can complain ignorance. We can't say ignorance. All unbelief is satanic at its source. It's the original sin. That's why Satan was thrown out of heaven. He did not trust in God, that even though he had a higher place for man than him, he could have trusted God. Well, whatever place I have, it's going to be good because he's my creator. So unbelief. He says, nah! I want something. Steps out of God. So we need to repent of where there's anything less than what we heard there today. If we're less than category 4, go back through there again and listen to it again and ask the Lord to show you where you need to repent. That's what I do. I can't stand to listen to truth and not know that if I don't have biblical faith or not. If I don't have biblical faith, hearing the word according to James chapter 1 is of no value. I am deceived to the degree that I mentally assent to the truth and do not act on it. Now, if we have died with Christ, and we have, Romans 6:8, we have, Romans 6, 1 through 4, we've died. We believe. Well, do we? Do we really believe? Lord, do we believe? We believe that we shall live in fellowship with Him. What does it mean to live in fellowship with you, Lord Jesus Christ? Live in fellowship with you. That means everything we heard today in that message is not potential, it's becoming a reality. It's that simple. Living together with Him. This is not the future resurrection. This is now. This is newness of life. Verse 4. New creation, quality of life. That's the word newness. Kainotes. A life that is centered in the second man, which is the new creation. So for me, what does that look like? When somebody's sitting in front of me, I don't ask. I do sometimes on certain things for them to see. But when it comes to dealing with the adversary, I don't ask God to do anything anymore. I do it. I'm doing it. And I do it, and I say, I agree with you, Father, that this is what needs to be done. And then I do it. And it happens. Yeah. That's it. So we can live in this paltry little lowlands of, I hope so. I hope so. Poor little me. Paul was a normal Christian, but, oh, poor little me. I can never be like the Apostle Paul. Why not exceed him? Why not ask the Lord, I want a double portion of the Spirit that's in Paul. I want a double portion of the Spirit that's in John or in Peter. I want a double portion. Why not?
You asked it on behalf of
the assembly. I asked it on behalf of the assembly. I don't want it to be a personal thing. I want it to be corporate. Yeah. If not here, I want out of here. I want to be where the place where there can be a corporate manifestation of a double portion of the Spirit of the Apostle Paul, the Spirit of Peter, the Spirit of John. Now, there is a certain mitigation of God's dealing when there is dissociation. But at the base of all the dissociation is deception and unbelief and unbelief and deception. It says this. Anything that's dissociated is deceived. I've never seen an exception. Complete, utter deception. And so if there's anything dissociated in me, it's my choice to be completely one with anything that's dissociated because I choose to come out of deception, Lord. So now I take that from you. Okay? So he says, now if we have died with Christ, and we have, verses 1 through 4, we've been crucified to Christ, verse 5. Now if we've died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. That's Romans 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's living together with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer exercises lordship over Him, dominion. For the death that He died to sin. Whose sin? Our sin. And not sins. The root of all sins, and that includes unbelief. He died to it. He died to it. Where I have unbelief, I choose to come out of that dead man. I repent. I confess my sin of unbelief, and I choose to live by faith in the Son of God. It's my choice. My choice. Confusion? You're not Lord here. Dissociation? You're not Lord. This is my choice. I'm not passive anymore. I'm not a victim. I choose to live by faith in the Son of God. He died to sin once and for all. The life that he now lives, he lives to God. Even so, consider. Add up the facts habitually, as a way of life, habitually, present imperative. Consider yourselves to be permanently dead to sin. To be dead to sin. Consider yourself to be dead to sin, but present tense, those who are characterized as alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's faith right there. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin. Consider yourselves as alive to God where? In Christ Jesus. If you're alive to God in Christ Jesus, you're not dissociated. If you're alive to God in Christ Jesus, you're not confused. It's a contradiction. Something is a lie, and I will not live in that lie anymore. And if that's something that's in me, I command it out of me in Jesus' name. And if it can't leave, you are released in the name of Jesus Christ to be fully forward, and I'll own it right here in the present tense. That's your way out. At that point, it's His name that's on the line. It's not even about you anymore. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. The life he lives, present tense, he lives to God. So if he lives to God, Jesus, right now, lives to God, and he lives by the power of God, then in a word in him, there's our passport. Our passport. It's him. Want to know the power of God? What's the power of God? 1 Corinthians 1:24. Christ, the power of God. The dunamis of God. The wisdom of God. Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 1:24. What's verse 30? Out from God is the source. And this happened at new birth. God made him to become to us. Become to us. What? Wisdom. God gave us a person, not the book of Proverbs, to be wisdom. We read the book of Proverbs and we can say, that's personalized in Christ. He made him to become to us wisdom. Wisdom in the form of righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Righteousness, I can't live a life pleasing to God. Thank you, Lord, you've given me Jesus Christ to be alive to God in him. Righteousness. I can do that which pleases God, be right before God, because I have the person of Christ, my righteousness. God made him to be wisdom in the form of righteousness, sanctification. I'm carnal. I'm not set apart. I need to be more sanctified. I need to be more consecrated. He's it. He is the consecration. I have that consecration, that set apartness, that heart for God in him. I wonder if I really have a heart for God. Well, you don't. But in him you do. He is your sanctification. In him you're set apart to God. You don't become holy. In him you are holy to God. He's your passport, to use his illustration. So that's our cooperation. We cooperate and say, we pursue righteousness. 1 Timothy 6. We are to pursue sanctification, which it says in Hebrews chapter 12. Pursue it! Pursue it! We hunt it down like somebody who is hungry, and if we don't catch that prey, we're not going to eat that night. We pursue it until we capture it. Dioko. Pursue righteousness. Pursue sanctification. You're not passive. You're vigorous. You're hunting it down like a hunter after an animal. I used to persecute Christians. I used to pursue them. Pursued them unto death, Dioko. Now Paul says, I'm pursuing Christ. Twice in Philippians chapter 3. I'm pursuing. I'm hunting him down. That's a normal person. Out of this passivity, out of this nonsense, out of this mediocre, low life of unbelief, repent, repent, repent 1,000 times a day if necessary of unbelief. That shows that you're humble. And if you're not repenting, you are arrogant. You are arrogant before the Lord. Humility is a constant state of mind of repenting of anything that's not faith. And what is faith? I now appropriate Jesus Christ as the wisdom of God and the power of God. It's not about me. It's not about my deficiency. It's not about if I'm dissociated or not. Even if you were, you start laying hold of Jesus Christ, you're not going to be dissociated that long. Why? Because that which is dissociated is on the ground of Satan and unbelief and death. And when that starts pulling on you, you say, look here, I don't know who you are, but you're getting out and I charge into your center and I seize and take by force in Jesus' name anything that's in the realm of confusion and death and unbelief, impurity. I take all of you out of that in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. So it's no longer a dissociative issue. It is a free will choice whether I'll do that or not ever again or not. That's called normal. And if it's God's will, we'll go to Germany. I'm going to talk to the counselors. I'm going to talk about the associate. I'm going to talk to the counselors. I'm going to use Paul as my example. I says, is that the way you are? Is that the way you are when you're counseling people? Is this who you are? You think some psychological protocol is what you need? You want to hear a formula? You want to go get that 338-page Doug Riggs SRDID manual? You can memorize the whole thing. You may be able to get a little bit out of the ankles out of the swamp and a little bit on the sandy beach, and that's about it. You want on solid ground? You want to be on a rock? Then here, Paul is your example. Just like what Eric says, you're preaching, you come from this place. You're teaching, you come from this place. A counselor, you come from this place. That's what he said. I heard him say it today. So even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive unto God. Where? Where are we alive unto God? In Christ Jesus. If we are not considering, reckoning, adding up all the facts, and when we add up all the facts about who Christ is in us and who we are in him, those are the facts. They're declared in the Word of God. So we come to the conclusion after weighing up all the facts, Legizomai, consider yourselves to be dead to sin and present tense, alive to God in Christ Jesus. So if we're doing that, we have faith. If not, we're in unbelief. And that's sin. Face it. Sin is when we are not walking and doing the truth that we say we believe. So you say you believe in the core, then walk it out, or it's not faith. And you get down before the Lord, flat out, repent, confess the sin, personal and generational sin of unbelief. Because that's the root. It's not dissociation. It's not confusion. It's sin. Sin is at the base. And if sin is dissociated, I command that sin, you get out of me now in Jesus' name. And if you are a separate part of me, you come forward and I will be right here one with you, and we'll see if that's who you really are in the presence of who I am in union with Jesus Christ. That's called faith instead of being passive. I repent of being passive. The stronghold of passivity, which is a twin sister to unbelief. If I'm passive, I am walking in unbelief. I'm not walking in active faith. I'm not walking in the faith that we see in James chapter 1. So we give you thanks for this, and we ask you, Father, give us the stadiums. Give us those places on planet Earth where everyone who has SRIDID in this generation can come out of darkness and deception and dividedness into being alive unto God in Christ Jesus. We want to see everyone who has SRIDID the opportunity to come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ as preparation for the rapture. And that each one of us, you show us where we would fit in to the outworking of that prayer, so that the remaining distance between the third heaven and the second heaven can be closed, and you can return to catch the church up in the air. That's what I believe. I believe that that needs to happen through this handful here, and it would spread out to anyone who is willing to step in to becoming a part of that member of the body of Christ. In Revelation chapter 1, when Jesus opens his mouth, a sharp two-edged sword comes out of his mouth. I don't want to be the hilt of the sword. I don't want to be the blade. I want us to be the tip of the sword that comes out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. So when we engage the adversary, he is terrified that Satan cringes and shrinks wherever we go. Mm-hmm. That the dread of the Lord of hosts mm-hmm. will be upon all the enemies of God wherever we go. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name.